The Hawaii Health Systems Corporation has a lot going against it. Most of its 12 hospitals are in rural areas. This past session, the legislature cut its appropriation for the system by $48 million, and Medicare also reduced its part of patient cost. Its facilities are old, the patients poor and chronically ill, and with growing holes in what's supposed to be a safety net, the HHSC is looking to the community with a series of public hearings and informational briefings. The first was last night at UH Hilo, and now Dan Brinkman, the interim CEO of HHSC's East Hawaii region, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks, and thanks for making time for us. You have significant challenges with, in particular, the Big Island. Most of the hospitals in the system are there. What did you hear last night when everyone came out for the meeting?
Well, first of all, it was gratifying that the health and the labor committees came to the Big Island to see for themselves and to, frankly, give us an opportunity to share some of the challenges and what's going on with healthcare in the East Hawaii region. So that part was really good, and we were very glad that they took the time to come over. We had a very good public turnout, and it was a positive interaction. Some of those hearings at times can be very contentious, and this was a very collaborative hearing, and it was a good thing.
When you were having the conversation last night, it's a very different perspective from those of who attended, who might have come over from Oahu, where you can be in a hospital in a matter of minutes. It's not the same way when you are on the Big Island.
And that was absolutely a point that we wanted to convey. And I think certainly a lot of our Oahu legislators walked away with the understanding of just the geographical distances and the relative isolation of all the different facilities in the region. We have one in Kau and in Honokaa and in Hilo, and even with those locations, in a lot of places, you're an hour and a half from services. And that absolutely drives the whole delivery of health care. It's so different on the neighbor islands. And to be honest, it's rural health care. It's almost the same as if you were in the isolated part of Kansas or Texas. And distance really decides a lot of what is required for health care.
So what came out of the meeting last night, aside from just being able to make the points, hey, we've got isolation going against us, we've got old facilities, we have people who are chronically ill, infirmed, who need care, what else did the public really convince or try to convince some of the lawmakers about when they were there last night?
Well, we think there was a lot of good news also to convey at that hearing. And East Hawaii region, even though we're under a lot of stressors and have had uphill climb, I believe also, though, has been able to be successful in doing an excellent job with patient care. We've had a number of improvements over the years. We've managed to put in and implement electronic medical records. It's been in place now for 4 or 5 years, and we were able to communicate that, but also communicate all the advantages, you know, that transformation allows when it comes to managing your costs and improving your patients' outcomes. And I think we wanted to convey, and I think we were successful, that we, with our very astute board, we're professionally managed. We are delivering really good care here, and that investment that the state makes, that those legislators support, is well worth the money, and frankly, is being used very efficiently. And I think we were able to get that message across. And
that said, though, and I mean that said, though, Dan, you still have a lot of financial burden that you're going to have to shift in some sort of way, systems wide, and certainly in your region. What are you planning to do that?
Well, and that question was asked of us directly, and we shared with them our financial plan for this fiscal year. So that runs through June 30th. And we feel like that due to some of the operational changes that we've made, some of our, well, basically our financial plan, that we'll be able to end the year pretty much in the same financial shape of when we started, which isn't, we have a ton of money in the bank, or, you know, we're able to do all the things we feel like we are able to, but we are still able to preserve our services. The question is, of course, in the next fiscal year, how our funding will be. There are challenges with some of the new expenses that are going to be coming up, and we also anticipate some of our reimbursements will decrease. So the question really for the legislators that we hope we conveyed was that we do still need their support, and but we will be prepared, and we're evaluating the steps we're going to need to take in the next fiscal year, depending on different levels of funding.
But the funding that's coming from the state is one thing. The funding that comes through federal means, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, those both are real challenges for you. I mean, we've seen them being sliced and diced, but especially with Medicaid being reduced and many of your patients who receive that, isn't that going to be something that's not going, you're going to have to make it up somehow?
Absolutely, and that's part of that gap that we're concerned about in the next fiscal year, and there are different ways to make that up. A piece of that, of course, is our support from the state, but we're also looking at our programs, and there are some services we offer that bring revenue into the hospital. We want to grow those.
What are those revenue streams?
Well, we have an orthopedics program here where we do joint replacements, and that has been working well for us. We have 10 clinics, which a lot of them are subspecialty clinics, and they bring a lot of visits into our hospital. We had 34,000 clinic visits last year, which brought in about $27 million of revenue to the hospital. And the thing to understand is that a hospital, you pay for that hospital whether you're using it or not. So for us, the more our local community chooses to use our services, the better off financially our hospital will be. But for our community to use us, they have to believe that the quality is good, the patient experience is good, and their outcomes are going to be good. So it's one of those things where we really have to work within our community, and then we also have to elicit support for, frankly, supporting the safety net component of our mission.
So, Dan, it seems like you've got a little bit of a PR challenge there, too.
We do. The hospital has at times perhaps been perceived as the state hospital where you don't need to go to if you can fly to Oahu. But that is the old hospital, and I believe that over the last 5, 6, 7 years have been huge changes in the quality of care that's being delivered. And that when our community chooses to have their care here, even if they can go to Oahu, they'll have a great experience. I mean, our mantra really is you get great care close to home, because who really wants to fly, spend a whole day in Oahu, can't go with all your family, and have that inconvenience if you can get the same care locally in a high-quality manner? And that's part of the solution, too.
All right, Dan. For the moment, we're going to leave that with you and see how some of the other hearings play out and the briefings play out. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, and good luck in your new position.
Oh, I appreciate that. You have a great day.
Dan Brinkman will serve as the interim CEO of HHSC's East Hawaii region beginning August 1st. The Hawaii Health Systems Corporation is holding statewide meetings and informational briefings to come up with solutions for the growing deficit and how the state system of hospitals will be able to meet the needs of its patients. The schedule is on hbr2.org.